You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey now, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. KBOI.com, if you miss anything, you want to stream it on your computer when you get to work, you want to, you go to the TuneIn app on your smartphone. I know a bunch of you still have your flippers, but you can go to your smartphone, do that. That's kind of a fun thing. Excuse me. And then what else can you watch the show? Oh, and then on your moron Alexa at home. Alexa, play 10:30 The Voice. That usually works better than... It blows her up when you say KVOI. 10:30 The Voice usually works for Alexa, so... Alexa, order 23 pounds of coffee. Let's see what that does to your Alexa. Tomorrow, a fun show. The second hour is going to be really fun. Well, the third hour with Sean's always fun. But I got Rocco, and then I have the authors of Gastro Obscura, A Food Adventurer's Guide. Actually, I just ran onto my car to grab my advance copy, a handsome volume of kind of global food adventures and things like this. And there is nothing, someone asked me if there's anything in Tucson in the global food adventures. Sad to say there's not. I think the closest they get to us might be... of course, the Hatch Chili experience. So, missed it by that much. Earlier on the show, we had the sports intern, David Schweikert. We talked about, we just talked about business leadership and how the Greater Tucson Leadership and Jonathan Rothschild want you to pay $750 to learn how to run for office. It's a cute idea, but I know... You're in shock. I have my doubts. So I was just explaining where are the business leadership groups on the Fight for 15. So that was really good. And then what happened was, you know, they have that thing in their brain. And I'm not saying they're wrong. You could tell that a lot of these groups and people are like, oh, it's just going to pass anyway. Let's not throw money at it. And in our last conference call a couple weeks ago, I said, the businesses in this town have to see there's somebody, whether it passes or not, there's someone who still has fight in them who gives a crap. So what we'll say is, like, I've seen Guyman, who's now the executive, he's the acting head of the chamber, you know, like, oh, and we fought against 206. So they did help in the beginning part, right, in relation to the challenges. Amber did go and do the endorsement interview against the commie on Arizona Daily Star. But then after that, where are all these people? Where's the press releases going out that the Tucson Metro Chamber Board came out against 206? Where's all of that, right? Well, what happened was is that we did a little telethon on the show where people went and we raised, you know, $2,000-$3,000 in that time when they called in, you know, different small business owners, a couple other people have put some money in. And but when it came down to it, on the back end is the business and then the Hispanic Chamber, they didn't take any position at all. Right? So the Hispanic Chamber, nothing. Tucson Young Status Quo Professionals, okay. I get this thing from someone that their political committee, thank Jesus, run by John Winchester. Jesus. That guy's still bouncing around. That they came out for 410, which is increasing the salaries of city council people. But I don't think I think they're in no position on 206. So think about the Hispanic Chamber not doing anything with 206. So what you're doing is you have a proposition that's gonna really go after the mom and pops. Right? And because of what you have to do in relation to dealing with a new bureaucracy that's going to get forced upon the city of Tucson, this is why Rahina coming out for 206 just shows her for the absolute hypocrite she is about her support for Hispanic small businesses, especially on the South Side. For all the work that she did on South 12th to do La Doce, and they fixed the roads, thank God, down there, right? You're going to take the small business people that are very unsophisticated about dealing with payroll and all these situations, and now you're going to make their life a living hell. So, and you're going to raise prices on, you know, they always, again, remember when her and Lainey were did that, when the naked coked up guy died and he was crying about Nana, right? The Nana that he was terrifying. Well, it's Nana who they're going to screw with this. Prop 15, Prop 206, right? Because Nana's not getting a raise, right? Nana's getting her Social Security check and whatever's left of a survivor's benefit from her her husband's pension, or maybe their own pension, right? But it's not going up. It's not matching any of this stuff. We were talking about doing commercials for 206, but we didn't raise enough money to do TV commercials. My commercial really wanted to be that Nana takes the three grandkids always out on a Sunday afternoon to La Estrella Bakery, and she always buys them each an empanada, right? But they go on a Saturday, and she gets an empanada, and she cuts it into threes. And they go, Grandma, what's going on? Well, ever since 206, Grandma doesn't have enough money to buy you each an empanada. Right? But that's what we're dealing. So I have the Hispanic Chamber decided to take... I remember Carlos said he went to go talk to Rob Elias. Like, yeah, we're not doing much with this. Oh, thanks. That's great. Great. Right? Again, the Metro Chamber, Tar, Saba, all those folks, they were there in the beginning. But on the back end, nowhere to be seen because they just... They're like, hey, this is going to win. Why throw good money after bad? And I told them 2 weeks ago on this conference call, this community, the business owners, are looking for someone to step up for them. So the two groups that have stepped up for them the entire way through, TUBO, Tucson Business Owners, and SALC. I know there's a bunch of you who can't, you know, like you get all pissed off when Ted comes on and all this stuff, but I will tell you that it's Ted and SALC and Ed Ackerley and TUBO and Carlos and Jesse and that crew, they have stepped up. They're going to be all the way through the fight for November 2nd. But the other ones, after you could tell after it got on the ballot, they didn't have the stomach for the fight. So that's where we're at. And the other thing is, how do none of them endorse Val Romero? I don't think Saba, he's a member of Saba, right? Because he does his AZ barbecue hearth. So as a affiliate member, because he does custom barbecues and houses and things like that, he's a member of Saba. They didn't endorse him either. So how do you not endorse Val Romero, right? Pleasant guy, smart business guy. He's out in the community, and he's some sort of alternative to what's going on out there, right? So when you don't endorse Val Romero, you're saying crime's great. Crappy streets. I was picking up a friend who's staying at a friend's house in Sam Hughes' place near Rothschild's place over there. Those roads. It's unbelievable. It's a third world country in Sam Hughes. All of their houses are great. And they all have, I always love that the rich Democrats in Sam Hughes, you know, it's the one thing that a lot of them have at their house? Giant walls. Right? Can't build a wall at the border because you wouldn't want people who aren't totally invited guests to come in. And they got the biggest ass walls you ever saw. Tear down that wall, Mr. Gorbachev. So if you're not going to endorse Val Romero as a business organization, right? And then you have all the real estate people giving money to Steve. Right now, again, Clickster was in on the primary because he was scared that Portella or Schubert were going to get in there, and they're wackier than Steve K. Got it. But when you see that the money coming in from the Diamond Venture folks at the end here and these other real estate people, right? They would, again, this is another example of the business community for their own short-term game for make sure they get a Steve K vote, throwing the rest of us into the funeral pyre. So that's where we're at. There was the great alliance through the signatures. But once this thing got on the ballot, you can see everyone kind of fell off. And it wasn't going to happen. And they did. They did a great efforts. Amber did the interview with the Arizona Daily Star. They engaged lawyers and all that good stuff. But once it got on the ballot, then it was over. I think one of the reasons Amber quit when she did is she doesn't want to be the head of the chamber when this passes. Because what's going to happen is everyone's going to get pissed off. They're going to say, what the hell? Where was the chamber on? You can hear it. It's coming. Yes, Matthew.
The thing that scares me the most about the people that are against it, they always start off the conversation, we're all for a $15 an hour minimum wage.
Ted said that on Monday.
All of them say it, Chris. All of them. So you're sending the wrong message. And I'm not saying they're ignoring the bureaucratic provision. You know, the city of Tucson is going to be required to spend a lot of money to stand up this bureaucracy. Well, do you think they're going to fix more potholes or less potholes if they have to divert more money over to this bureaucracy? And there's all these other facets that are just awful.
Well, when I listened to the show that Carlos was on with Zach last week, right? And they played the audio back from, you played it, from the mayor's thing, right? And Zach and the mayor were like, oh, too bad this wasn't throughout the county.
Right.
What are you people? Are you nuts?
So even the groups that are fighting this, you know, they're kind of getting the wrong message out by opening their argument saying, hey, we're all for the $15 an hour minimum wage.
The only thing you can say is that let's go to break. I see where we're at, 8:19 in the morning. Christy Simone, Notorious ESQ. We're going to do the top 15 hottest restaurants, according to Eater.com in Tucson. There's a couple you heard of, and there's some I didn't even hear of. Heard of. You know what I meant. Haven't heard this one in a day or two. Here we go. OJ's, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. This is mildly prophetic. The old Hammer to Fall by our good friends at Queen. Let's go right to the phones. CEO, president, and leg breaker over at HT Metals, our good friend Carlos Ruiz. Carlos, good morning, sir.
No, my wife is the leg breaker. when somebody doesn't pay, my wife calls them.
Cindy just hardballs him. It's like that part at the end of Caddyshack when he says, "Hey, yeah. Moose, Rocco, help the judge find his checkbook." You send Cindy. I love it.
That is her. She relishes that job too. Hey, I've been kind of listening to you on and off for the last half hour or 45 minutes, and I want you to know, and as me along with Jesse Lugo as co-chairs on this on 206 campaign, we are fighting to the very end for the small businesses in Tucson.
Amen.
And you know, we're doing what we can with what we have, and we've also had help. There's a gentleman last name Martin at Pima GOP that has helped put signs out, the signs, you know, that we were able to procure. And so those are out, and so they've been very, very helpful too.
Shelley and the GOP have been amazingly helpful. They actually did the initial examination of the petitions as part of this whole thing.
Correct.
You know, so
correct.
They've been invaluable allies. Also, did I get anything wrong in relation to everyone was looking good until it got on the ballot, and then everyone just kind of faded off in the end? It feels like that, right?
That's my sense. Yeah, but okay. I'll tell you what, there's one I've been invited, and I volunteered to speak at the Greater Vail Chamber of Commerce breakfast. It's on the 20th, I think that's Wednesday at 7 a.m. So I tell you, when I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out swinging.
God bless you.
And so if anybody wants to go, I guess you could go on, I don't know, Google Greater Vail Chamber of Commerce and come and see the last hurrah on the 20th of Carlos Ruiz fighting for, you know, no on 206. And the guest speaker will be, not guest speaker, but it's actually going to be like a forum where we will have a pro 206 person there. I think it's David Higuera. I think he's chief of staff for Supervisor Hines.
Oh, wow.
Who's also a doctor.
What?
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
Shocking.
Yeah. So anyways,
expose.
So he will be presenting the why this is such a great thing for Tucson. And, you know, I want to tell the people out in Vail and the people that this is one of the perversions of this Prop 206, is that the Vail School District, some of it is in the city, some of it is in the county, but they will have to abide by the provisions of 206 for those schools in the city. They're not going to have different rules, right? So their school district is going to have to adopt provisions of 206 district wide, even though only a portion of their schools are in the city, and they project a $3 million hit to their budget once this is fully implemented, and the school district doesn't get any more money.
So again, as on the postmortem, when we sit down together over beer on this, Carlos,
yeah.
is everybody
yep.
was too late. As usual, right? This information's yep. out too late. Ranking, poo-pooing, yep. bunch of the stuff legally came out too late. It all comes out too late. This is what we do in this town, sad to say. But I got to get going. Thanks to you and Jesse
okay.
and
Thanks.
Ed and yep. Ted and all. And all the anyone who said that 15's okay. No, I'm not okay with 15 being okay, right? You're getting in between the employer and the employee. Once you do that, yep. problems.
Yep.
So, Carlos.
Yeah. So, anyways. Going down swinging, man.
So
maybe we won't be going down. I'm not throwing in the towel yet.
I'm not either, my friend. We're fighting to the end.
Okay.
And if I owe you any money and I see Cindy knocking on my door, I know why.
All right. Very good.
Later, my friend.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. That's Carlos Ruiz, co-chair of No on 206. If you still want to help, go no206.org. We come back. We're switching gears into the food world. Let's do top 15 restaurants according to Eater. It's the hottest new ones, supposedly. So wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right. These guys were just in Tucson last week. I know Dr. Feynman and Patty went to that concert. Very cool. You on Wake Up Tucson tomorrow. Rocco, Ron Arenas, the authors of Gastro Obscura, a global food adventure book that's actually kind of fun. Kind of very, lots of pictures. A lot of you will like that. And Sean McCluskey in the third hour. Let's get to this this story about, this is from Eater. It's funny, it's the Eater Phoenix. I assume we have Eater Tucson, but you never know. Top 15 hottest restaurants in Tucson. And I might have one that I'm going to add to it before it's all over. Maybe one or two. But let's get going. It says from Sonoran Italian, I know what that is, to Nepalese Thai, here's what's hot in the Old Pueblo.
We're not the Old Pueblo, man. We're a new community. Stop, man.
While Mexican food may always be the darling star of Tucson's culinary scene, the city's has embraced an increasingly diverse range of cuisines. Well, we've been doing that for years. I mean, for goodness sake, at one point, I'm thinking pre-pandemic, we had three Ethiopian restaurants. I have a friend who goes back to D.C. For a big board meeting for a national association, and they always go to this... They always go to this one Ethiopian restaurant that they all like, and he's like, it's still not as good as the mom's. in Tucson. And Emmanuel, who owns that, is such like the nicest guy in the world. So let's do, hey, look at that. Got new coffee cups coming in. We're killing it at this station. We got the new coffee cups coming in. Rocking. All right. They're not ceramic, but they got a lot of character. So the first one is my friend Ramon from El Merendero has Taqueria La Esquina. I like it. It says, festive environment with full bar and fun Mexican cocktails. Tripas, cabeza tacos, don't miss out on the satisfyingly crunchy pork belly. Now, this is on the corner, the northwest corner of 6th and Irvington, just west of the rodeo grounds. And this used to be Cora's, I think it was. But anyway, he took it over years ago, that the one restaurant. And I forgot what he called that. And then there was this little building taqueria thing that... So Ramon knows what this show's about, right? And we talk about how hard it is to get something done. That man will tell you over three cocktails how hard it was to get that building done finally over there. Okay? But really, Patty and I are talking about we got to get over there, but it's called La Esquina, the corner. Check it out. Really, really interesting stuff. Very good. Now, here's one I don't... Now, if any of you have heard of these things and have been there, I want you to call me, okay? Because some of them I might need some help from. 790-2040. Give me a holler. 790-2040. Janet and Ray's is number two. Now, have you been there?
I haven't been there. I drive by it every morning, and they've got really good reviews. It's over at 22nd and Craycroft on the northwest corner, and where that Brookline College is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Caribbean and soul food restaurant includes such favorites as jerk chicken, fried catfish, rotating weekly specials. Visit Saturdays. Very rarely do I get to say this. Unctuous oxtail stew and curry goat. Lastly, get the banana pudding for dessert. Who wrote this thing? That'd be interesting. It seems to be a conglomeration. No, it is a conglomeration. Okay. And they show a very interesting, I don't know what that is, at the sandwich. Then we have friends of the show, Matt Cable and Devin Sanner, the Zio Pepe. Zio Pepe offers Chef Devin Sanner's playful take on Italian cuisine with Sonoran influences. I got to get over there and do the birria pizza. I mean, they're getting their birria, which is the beautiful shredded beef from Juan at El Taco Rustico, and putting it on a pizza. So, and then everyone tells me he brought them. They're great. It's the elote arancini, the rice balls with the elote. Are pretty damn good too. So we got that going for us. Then there's the transplant pizza guys that are doing this. You've seen it all, even, Taco, I can't say what I usually call Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut, I don't want to be blamed for hut shaming. But Pizza Hut is also doing this. Basically, it's a kind of a crunchy cheese crusted in a pan, kind of gets pan fried because of, you put a little extra oil in the bottom, and I think they're running it through a conveyor. And I know Rocco, we'll find out from Rocco tomorrow when he's here. He's giving it a shot. Rocco's not one of those nerds who goes, I don't go to other people's pizza places. That's what I love about Rocco. So anyway, and actually there's a great recipe for Detroit style pizza in, on my test kitchen. Go look it up on YouTube. It's actually kind of a cool way to do it at home. So, then there's Locale. This is the one that took over the old Pueblo place on Broadway and Alverdon, just south of. I haven't been there. I know that they were having, I've heard from some people that they were having, it was taking long to get your food. That kind of thing. So people that I know, and I'm not sure if they're open. I remember when they first came on the show to talk about it, 60 North Alverdon, that they were going to do more breakfast kind of stuff and like maybe do a really good Italian coffee program, but I feel like they're so busy. I'm going to look real quick. Yeah, they're doing lunch. They're open 11:30 to 9. So, and then a weekends, Thursday through Saturday till 11. So, we'll see. But they did make, they got that going. And then there's Flora's Market Run, which again, it's, they're doing good work. It's just expensive as hell. Those English muffins, just go get the English muffins. If you do that, your life will be better.
Things have their own zip code.
They're huge, but they're homemade, and they're amazing. You would never eat a Thomas's English muffin after a Flora Market Run English muffin.
It's August. What's the bakery next?
August Rhodes.
August Rhodes, right around the corner. So, yeah, they've got their own bakery there.
So I noticed that August Rhodes was in the spot where the old Prep and Pastry was on Campbell, just south of Fort Lowell. But now it's a tamale place. Now, I don't know if the Prep and Pastry guys own that also after they moved August Rhodes over to the seemingly new mothership of the old Rincon Market building. So anyway, Flora's Market Run. I've never had anything bad there. It's good. It's just expensive, right? I actually, a friend of the show just brought their receipt yesterday, last week, remember? And it was one breakfast burrito with tax for $16. And the lady, that very nice girl, said, "Are you going to be back very soon?" And he looked at the city. He's like, "It was $16 for a breakfast burrito. I don't know if I can afford that." But all those U of A Sam Husers are loving it.
They know their market.
They do. And, God bless them.
Yeah,
God bless them.
It's cool.
God bless them. Now this is another one. Well, it's on 4th Avenue. So the only reason I usually go to 4th Avenue, as you can see right now, I have my beautifully coiffed haircut by Mike at Metropolis. Tia Gloria was in there the day before, so me and Tia Gloria got our hair coiffed 24 hours apart from each other. So we're looking pretty badass, me and Tia Gloria. This is a Nepalese Thai restaurant tucked away discreetly amongst the bustling bars. It's almost like a Jay Peterman catalog. Curry dishes are star here. Seasonal specials. They have their very own organic garden. And then for a side note, the chef owner happens to be an accomplished geologist. So if you guys want to talk about rocks and geodes, you can do that while you're having your wonderful Nepalese food. Then we have Cafe Maggie, again on 4th Avenue, where I feel like, you know, 4th Avenue is going through that sea change because it was so dead empty, right? It's just so dead empty. I mean, again, they're the perfect example with downtown, right? When you rely on the circle of self-righteousness population to make money, it could be good, but when something like this happens, this is what happens. I mean, if I went 6 months ago to get my hair cut at 11 o'clock in the morning, there'd be one lady walking her dog. Now they're up to about four people walking around 4th Avenue at 11 o'clock when I was there yesterday. So it's a tough road back. So Cafe Maggie, I don't know. It looks like every other cafe I've ever seen out there. Let's do one more. This is an interesting one. 2000 North Oracle. The Jack Rabbit Lounge. Where is the Jack Rabbit Lounge? So check this out. It's quietly garnered a local following within the hospitality industry. The menu features tongue-in-cheek options such as the frozen date shake cocktail. That makes tremendous sense.
Looks like it's on Grant. It's on Oracle, just south of Grant, a few blocks.
Oh, so it's kind of down the street from Taco Rustico. And everyone calm down. It's not the old Curves building. Okay. We'll have to figure out what that building is. So it says frozen date shake cocktails, Wagyu Franks. That's the Japanese beef Franks with caramelized kimchi with a rum barbecue sauce. Prominent red lighting. Wow. Interesting. We'll have to, it says the Jack Rabbit Lounge, come alive
as the night falls.
Very nice. I didn't know this place. This is why we do such things. Let's see what they do here. Deviled eggs, spicy meatballs, herbed goat cheese balls, steak fries, two salads, sandwiches, the inverted grilled cheese, Parmesan crusted sourdough, Havarti Gouda pecorino, roasted tomato sauce on the side. Patty melt, ground short rib and sirloin, griddled onion, smoked Gouda. Here's an interesting one. Chicken sandwich, Vietnamese caramel sauce, kimchi, and pickles. It might be worth a trip to the Jackrabbit Lounge, I think. I'm fascinated by the whole thing. Let's go to break.
Looks like it's by Flores Street, if I can read a map right, or maybe...
you can.
Oh, it is. It's between Flores and Ventura, so it's near Wildcat Automotive and... So, yeah, between Flores and Ventura.
If someone knows what was in that building before, give us a call, 790-2040. We still got number 10 through 15 to make through before it's all over. So we're counting down Eater Phoenix's top 15 new restaurants in Tucson. I'll throw another. We got another six to go, I know that, before it's over. So wake up, Tucson, 10th of the Voice, local news and talk. All right, we're going with Friday is going to be hair bands tomorrow. We're going to hair bands. I think what the Centurions are doing, their hair whatever thing. So we're going to go with hair bands tomorrow. So I put a beautiful, beautiful picture of rat on my Facebook page, but hair bands tomorrow. So let's make it happen. I'm sure Rocco will enjoy a little hair bands tomorrow too. So now we're doing the Eater. So I looked at the street view map on Google of this Jackrabbit Lounge. It's a freestanding building, looks kind of new. It was something else called the Oracle O or some crap before that, but it's got potential, right, Matthew? Maybe this should be our first Wake Up Tucson lunch meeting together. Is the Jackrabbit. And if it sucks, we go to Roost to Go for Birria.
Got sandwiches in the $12 to $15 range and appetizers in the, $7 to $10 range.
So let's give it a shot.
And beverages.
I did have a nice, we met some friends of ours for a little light dinner and cocktails over on the patio of Grant's place at St. Philip's Plaza. Ate off the Reforma menu. You know, his...
they are open 4 p.m. to 2 a.m., so it may be a late lunch.
Oh, I did not know that. We'll still make it happen.
You got it.
I like the idea that it has all this red lighting and stuff like that. So
real funky vibe, yep.
Listener Todd, used to be Gus and Andy's, is what he's saying. Then the O, a comedy club or something. That's true, because on the street view, it actually has something about a... I think we got it. So of course, Barrio Charo was number 10. Of course, between Carlota and Don Guetta, two people that I love in this town and the food scene. I've been there two or three times. The quesabirria torta was off the wall, and the horchata mixed with French roast coffee is pretty damn amazing. I've already told you about Bondicted. They make amazing banh mi over by Lili's Shopping Center across from the Northwest Hospital. Very nice people who own it. Real deal banh mi. Very reasonable. What else do we got here? I have not been to Noodle Holic yet on Oracle Road, so I've been hearing good things about that. Is my friend on the line? Let's go to the phones. Let's go to someone else whose hair looks amazingly sexy like myself, Tia Gloria. Gloria, what's up?
I have a torn rotator cuff. I can't even comb it, Chris.
Do you want me to come over and brush it for you?
Would you please? Bring the little tiny brush. anyway, here's the deal. All restaurants are slow in getting your food out right now.
It's true.
They don't have enough anybody left. I have a big theory, but we don't have time today. But locale, the food is good. The food is very good. And the ambiance is good. And everybody says, anybody who's over, let's say 50, says, oh, it's just too noisy. I couldn't hear anybody talk. That's called ambiance. Deal with it. Remember when people, young people would say, nah, I don't want to go there because it's as quiet as a mortuary. Let's go where they have music and things are going, kind of like Baccio. You know, Baccio, when they have music, that's happening. Well, all the time, it's great pizza, but locale is good. So is Barrio Charro, but it's probably not on your list.
It is. I just said it when you were online.
Oh, really?
It is.
Okay. So. I was trying to get on. But you know, we are crazy. And yet, what happens? What happens when friends say, hey, let's go out to eat? Everybody says, yeah, where? And there's this dead airspace. Where, you know, it's like the deer in the headlights because there's too many places. So I always go to your list online, Chris.
That's dsimonehq.com. Look at the favorites page, and you'll see about 35 local places that it'll help hopefully help focus your thoughts. The other place, Gloria, I wanted to talk about while you're here is on Speedway in Wilmot. I'm hearing good things about Pizza Luna. A lot of people like Pizza Luna, but the owners of Pizza Luna now opened a New York bagel place called Bubby's Bagels.
Oh.
So that just opened up. So supposedly doing some kick-ass New York bagels.
Well, yeah, bagels, you know, that's just a must. We don't have enough good bagel places. But, you know, Perkino, the Italian restaurant that was opened by a man who was on his way to Texas. And he had owned a wonderful restaurant in Washington, I think. And he got to Tucson, loved it, and he said, Perkino. Which means, why not? So Perkino is now opened down on Congress where the other Italian restaurant
This is where Milano used to be.
Exactly. And the Milano people are still in Italy waiting for their visa to get back to the U.S.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, 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 right. And so Perkino opens this weekend, and we're on our way to Mexico for the family reunion, but
that's all you people do is family reunions. Yeah, I've noticed you go like every 3 weeks there's a family reunion.
Oh, yeah, don't we, huh? Big family. It's a big family.
Got to get them in while you can, as they say.
Before we all die.
All right, safe travels. All right, tomorrow, Rocco, Ron Arenas, Sean McCluskey, and the authors of Gastro Obscura, Food Adventures Around the World. See you in 21.